to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard. We're going to kick off tonight's marathon. Today is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, and welcome aboard. We're live with Evangelist Joseph Cohen and Evangelist Tanisha Williams. Sister Tanisha, welcome to the show tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Brother Joseph, would you like to open us in prayer?
Oh, why don't you do it, Brother Shannon?
Okay. Father Yehovah, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for this opportunity to come together today. We plead the blood of Jesus over the network. We ask that you would bring in the people that you would have to hear the program tonight. Bless Sister Tanisha and Brother Joseph as they bring the word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Sister Reverend Tanisha has been on the show before, and she's done excellent teachings. She's married to a pastor, and she does know the Word of God very strong. And I wanted to change it today so where she would not give her give a message in teaching, because I feel the Lord was speaking to my heart this morning that somebody needs to understand and hear that the devil is real. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy people's lives from as early as, well, in the mother's womb when abortion takes place. But the good thing about abortion is that if there's anything good about it, the child automatically goes to heaven, which is really not good, you know, thinking that way. It's horrific, because the child could be one that could actually find a cure for cancer, or be a tremendous evangelist. But the thing is that God has angels around those that he knows are going to get saved. He knows who's going to get saved before he ever created the world, because he knows everything all the time, and nothing gets by God. So I have Reverend Tanisha on. You can watch her full testimony on my YouTube channel. You could just go to Tanisha Williams / New Hope in the Lord, and then you can see her, you know, hear her, you know, full testimony. But they have a saying that goes, I've been to hell and back, meaning that that the life has been hard. You have a hard life, and there's a lot of things that made the hard life hard. And we've had people that I've interviewed on my YouTube channel that have had that type of lifestyle. I mean, I've heard some of the testimonies where it was like, wow, but God. I mean, really heavy, intense. But Sister Tanisha has been attacked by Satan when she was started, I think, at 3 months old, and has actually gone to hell, literally hell. And the enemy wanted to try to end her life, but Jeremiah 29:11 says, God says, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, to give you peace and not harm, to give you an expected end and a hope in the future. So that's what we're going to do tonight. So, Reverend Tanisha, thank you for having somebody else get on Zoom and do the prayer meeting that you have, so that you could come on and tell about the seriousness of hell, about how Satan does come to steal, kill, and destroy, and about how the angels of the Lord encamp around those who love him. And you actually did see one of the angels one time. So why don't you just start off tonight and just share about the attack that you first had when you were 3 months old, and then give us a couple of more of the attacks as you were getting older, but how God intervened. And even before you got saved, God had his hand upon you, although you probably didn't know at that time, or maybe you did, that it was God. So why don't you start with being at 3 months old?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everyone, and happy to be back on this program with you all. You know, it wasn't at 3 months old, but I was an infant. I was a newborn. And one of the things that was relayed to me by an aunt of mine was she was very young. She was probably 8, 9. And her sister had asked her to bring a pot with porridge. And she was very nervous, you know, with the command to bring the porridge. My mother had laid me on a bed. And as she brought the porridge to her sister, my aunt, she dropped the pot. And the contents burned her, it burned my mother, and it burnt the aunt who sent her out, or her sister who sent her out. But miraculously, the porridge, when it hit the bed, it surrounded the baby. It surrounded me. Not a drop fell on me. And that could have been an attack from the enemy to scar me for life. I believe it was. Because the enemy, he sees the light, even from infancy, that God has placed in everyone that he's called to be a part of his family. And everyone was surprised that I wasn't burnt. Some years later, this is from some recalled memory. Some years later, I recall being hit by a car. And we don't have, you know, a lot of time to get into the details of it. But I was going home from school with my walk group. And we took a detour. And I'm staying with the group because we needed a cool drink of water. And in crossing the street, everything felt safe. But while we were walking by a tire retreading factory, there was someone backing out of the driveway. It was a very small parking space, parking lot. He was backing out, and I was the one who got hit. The car sent, it was a light tap, not to injure me, but it sent me flying into the street. And miraculously, it was as though I felt a hand pull me out of the street that I was about, a busy street, okay? A hand just pulled me in. I didn't touch the ground. Now, I've never known anyone to defy gravity, but it happened to me. And everyone was very surprised that I wasn't more injured because something else happened. On flying out into the street, just in time when the hand grabbed me, and it wasn't one of the little kids, okay? It was a mighty hand that pulled me back in from where I was going to fall. A second car came and was supposed to finish me off. I went home shaken up that day. Now, pertaining to what Reverend Joseph said, God knows the thoughts and the plans that he has for each and every person. But not everyone knows their identity in Christ. And I'll touch on that a little bit later. As I grew up, I was in Sunday school, but Sunday school wasn't in me. It was just about, you know, putting on the pretty dresses and going to be with other kids, to play on the playground, to get ice cream after church, you know, those little treats that we would get from my aunts who would take me to church with them. But the church wasn't yet in me. And I would see little kids getting saved and speaking in tongues. And I used to laugh. I thought it was very funny, you know, and I wondered if they were playing around. But some of them were crying. I used to watch Jesus of Nazareth every Easter. And we would go through all the traditions of Easter. But there was no connection with me and the Savior. And, or I thought. You see, when God calls you, it's not an opportunity that you take seriously the first time. But He will allow situations to come into our lives that will bring us back into His plans, His thoughts, because His word prospers in the things that He sends it for. So I went through not a very easy life, okay? I grew up in a very tough situation where I was being abused at home and there was nobody to help me. And I don't have time to get into all of that tonight. I want to fast forward into a time where even gunmen came in twice on our family, okay? And I remember one instance, it was right after a hurricane that they came. And the guy put a gun to my head. One of the guys put a gun to my head. We were held face down. I couldn't have been more than 9 years old when this happened to me. So I had a lot of trauma coming up. Now, where my upbringing is from, we were not very wealthy, but we were comfortable, you know. At least as from a child's standpoint, I felt like, you know, there was nothing out of the ordinary, out of my life. But Jesus Christ was missing. When I turned 17, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And it was not something that I was expecting. I wanted to escape the abuse at home. I wanted to know this Jesus who died for me that I watch every year dying on the cross. And it would seem like this was some kind of just replay, and I would get emotional and I would cry, and I knew that there was a Jesus who loved me, but I didn't know how to be saved. So someone invited me to a crusade, and I went there. It was someone from work, because I graduated at 16 from high school, 16, 17. So when I went to the crusade, I don't know what the message was. I couldn't tell you what it was. All I knew was something happened to me there. I got filled with the Holy Spirit on that same night. But this experience that I had was short-lived, maybe a year and a half or so in to being in the church, I backslid. Because my expectation of what Christianity is was not met. I thought that when I gave my life to Christ, that the persecution or the abuse at home would stop, because that was what I was praying for and hoping for and longing for. But it didn't stop. It got amplified, as a matter of fact. I began to be persecuted because I was a Christian. And I thought, well, I wasn't having this problem when I was in the church, when I was out of the church. So why am I having this issue now? So things went on. I tried, you know, and I thought, I didn't, you know, when I got backslidden, I really didn't know that I was backslidden. Because I knew I loved the Lord now. I felt His love. I had the experience of you know, being a Christian. As a matter of fact, some of the gifts of the Spirit that was more prominent for me was the ability to see. I could literally see what was going to happen in the next moment as the Lord would reveal it to me. He didn't show me everything, you know, about everyone and whatnot. But I could see. He would give me, like, if I was in danger, He would show me a vision. I mean, there was no interpretation needed. I would just see things as they were. And so I didn't know I was backslidden. But then those gifts were being suppressed. They were not happening in the frequency that I was having them before, but I didn't even know. And so I started to do things in the world that I wasn't doing even before I was saved. I mean, if you can consider that I was 17 when this happened, so now new things are being introduced to me from the world. And I started to gravitate towards them. No, it came subtly. It was things like just hanging out with friends, going to the movies, having a boyfriend, you know, that kind of thing. And so I didn't know I was backslidden. Is there anything wrong with watching the movie? No. Is there anything wrong with having friends? No. But when you take it, when you trespass, and I was doing a word study recently on trespasses, and this is why the Lord said, forgive us our trespasses. Trespassing is going beyond what is allowed. So if you're going beyond what is allowed in the company that you keep, you're trespassing the laws of God, right? And so I had gone beyond, and I forgot who I was. And I forgot about the Lord, but I yearned to go back, but I wanted to make things right. And so in my own self, I figured by then, when I was out there, I had gotten pregnant. I was living with my boyfriend, and we had started a premature family without being married. But I figured that once we had plans to get married, once we got married, everything was going to be okay. You know, I could start going back to church. I could be, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, and I'm doing God's bidding. I didn't know there was so much more to being a Christian. There was so much more to being saved. I was just saved for myself when I turned 17. I wasn't thinking about making disciples of other people, you know, sharing my faith. I didn't have that boldness. And so I started a new career. I started out in accounting, but I started a new career in life insurance sales, and things seemed to be going very well. I was prospering on my job. As a matter of fact, every job that I've had prior or afterwards, there seemed to be some prosperity connected to it. And I thought that, well, gain is godliness, but it's not so. I wasn't reading my Bible, so I didn't know what it says. And so I'm doing very well in this company. As a matter of fact, I was just on the brink of closing a multi-million dollar deal. It was such a big catch. Two managers from the company had to be a part of it because I didn't have the license. They did. One had one and one had the other or something. And so it was going to make a lot of people multi-millionaires. We would get our advances from the company ahead, you know. So I was on the brink of celebrating that when one day I woke up in hell. On this side, people were seeing different things happening, but for me, I had checked out. And I'm just going to describe to you what I experienced. All right? But before that, I should back up. I had gone to my doc. I was on the brink of getting married. Our wedding was a few days away, you know, or a few weeks away. I had a two-year-old, and doing this on-demand job, my first client I saw, I would book my schedule 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. That was my schedule, last client at 9. And I was seeing a lot of business people, so it made sense to see them before they started or after they've closed their day. So I wanted something to help me sleep at night, and it's not that I didn't want to spend time with my child and my fiance, but I needed, you know, to get some sleep. And if I can get even 6 or 7 hours, I'm good. Well, when I went to my doctor, it was a Sunday, and I went to my doctor, and I know sometimes people say, but doctor's offices are not open. Some doctor's offices are, okay? I went to my doctor's office, and when I went there, he was closed, surprisingly. So I decided, all right, let me go to my childhood doctor. They were still open for business. So I went there, and the physician that I've been seeing, you know, since I was a little girl, he was not there that day. He was out. So they asked if I wanted to see another doctor. I think this guy is one of his partners or something. And I said, okay, you know, because I was just desperate for the sleeping pills. No, it's not that I like taking pills. All right, so that should have been my first warning. You don't like pills, so what are you doing here? but I was desperate for sleep and to, you know, do everything all over the next day. And when I met with him, he prescribed some meds. I went and I filled it right away at a nearby pharmacy. And when I went home, I guess I started taking the meds right away, but I had some kind of medical emergency that took place right afterwards. And so my family, they were going back and forth to the hospital trying to figure out what's going on with me. They couldn't find the prescription bottles. And so they didn't have anything to go with. Everyone's trying to figure out. So on this side, doctors are trying to figure out medically what's going on with me. I was having seizures. I was passing out, things like that. And there were times, too, when I was alert and I was very strong. And I managed to get my hospital record this year in January, and I found out that sometimes they had six people trying to control me, you know, to hold me. And so what they resorted to do was to sedate me. Not only that, they had given me some other drugs that had continued to keep me bound in a certain condition. And so they were seeing this on this side in some regard. At one point, my family members, they were telling me, you know, I would come there and you were only sleeping. No one could wake you up. So I thought I was in a coma. All right? Matter of fact, there was a woman that was in the same vicinity, and she was in a coma, but her eyes were wide open. She didn't budge. She didn't move. She was frozen. On this side, they were seeing life. On the other side, I thought 100% that I must have died, because I wound up in a place that was pitch black. Zero light anywhere. Okay? And while I'm there and I'm trying to just figure out what's going on, I thought I was blind. I thought something had happened in the world, you know, maybe a big explosion. I don't know. But it was just 1 minute here, the next minute gone into this world. And I could hear people talking a lot. I could hear people crying. I could hear people screaming. But I couldn't see them. And the darkness that was upon me, it enveloped my whole body. It's like sitting in a jar of, it wasn't liquid, okay? But it was just on me, every part of me. And I itch and I hurt from head to toe. Everything hurt. Talking about a super headache, okay? I was breathing, but I was not breathing. I was hyperventilating. And it was very miserable. I was hungry and thirsty. I wanted to sleep. I could not sleep. There was no sleep whatsoever, no rest. And one of the things that hit me almost suddenly when I was there, I mean, imagine all of this happening at once, were my sins. And at some point I realized I died and I'm in hell. Perpetually. There's no sense of time. You just know you're there for eternity. And while I'm there, I started crying out for the Lord. But guess what? There is absolutely no hope in hell. All my sins, they started hitting me, and I knew I deserved it. I became very sorry for my sins. Now, in life, I thought that God would overlook certain sins that we have. You know, if I lied a little bit, oh, it's just a little lie. I had pride that was so massive, and that was one of the biggest things that was recalled to me. No, there was no one saying, oh, let's see what you've been up to while you were alive. Nothing like that. But you know 100% that you're guilty. And I started calling out to the Lord. I started begging for his forgiveness. You know, I needed one more chance. I remembered that I had my baby I remembered that I had two stepdaughters. I remembered my fiance. I remembered just stuff about life. Now, was I missing it? No, you didn't have time to miss it. You're just focusing on all the horrible torment that was happening to you. I didn't see any flames in hell. I didn't see fire, but I felt the heat. It was all over me. It was like I was being baked, literally alive. And one of the other things that I realized was that I was standing, but I didn't know what I was standing on. I could touch my body. I could feel every part of me. But I could not see myself. You know, I looked at my hand. I looked for my hand. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. And after a long time, I saw a faint light coming towards me. And as the light came closer and closer, it was a man. And I became terrified because I thought demons were coming now to torment me. But this man, he came and he stood beside me, didn't say a word. And we just started gliding through hell. And the light that was on him started to give glow to what was towards my right. And I'm looking and I see these cells. And the cell doors were open. He passed the first one. I'm thinking, what is he going to do? Is he going to go put me in this cell to be tormented now, you know, from demons? I didn't see any demons in hell. As a matter of fact, personally, I have heard, you know, others say that demons are in hell and so forth. But the demons, they don't rule hell. God is the governor of hell. And so for us to assume that the devil has access in and out of hell when the Bible tells us clearly that at a certain point in history, he's going to be bound for 1,000 years and put into hell. Where the Bible tells us clearly that when the demoniac was possessed of a legion of demons, they were scared of going into this hell because hell is a prison. So I don't stand with anyone who says that the demons are in hell and they're torturing people and so forth. Just the atmosphere of hell torments you and tortures you. So as he passed these cells, I'm seeing that he's not putting me in any of the ones that we've passed so far. And immediately we get sent to, he took me to a place where I saw a young woman that I knew. She was my neighbor. Well, at my grandparents, I spent a lot of time there. She had died, and she died from probably something like a pneumonia, something like that. But she didn't get injured or anything. She just got sick, and she died, and she left her two kids. And I saw her just pacing up and down what you could assume was a street, but it wasn't a street. She was just walking back and forth, and she would go to a certain place, and she couldn't go beyond there. And I'm wondering, why can't she go any further? And she would attempt to go beyond again. And then I saw a man that I knew was mad. He was insane in this life, mentally ill, okay? When he died, his head was severed from his body. I don't know who killed him, but they found him dead. He used to walk the streets naked. And children, especially little girls, we were terrified of him because he would make advances. He would try to grab you. And if you see him coming, if you're going up the street, you turn around. If he's going down and you're coming out your yard, your house, you go back inside. You know, he was violent and terrifying. And so this guy in hell, his head was severed from his body. But something unusual happened with this man. He was in his right mind. This was the only time in my life I've seen this man in his right mind. And he was talking to the torso, and I wondered, how can he talk to the torso? His torso would come towards where the head is, but the head is too high up in the air. And he's reaching for it, and he did it repeatedly. Another woman I saw in hell was someone who they used to think that she was my mother's sister, but they were really good friends. And she died when one of those transport buses hit her. And how that happened was there was a fight going on with a man and somewhere he was ordering food from, and the man had a baby. So she picked up the baby in her hand, and she started to back out, you know, walk backwards, not realizing that she was out into the street. The bus came, it hit both of them. They both died on the spot, the baby and the woman. But her bowels, I heard, was spilled out. I didn't see the accident. I was at home. And this woman, I saw her in hell, and she was in a pit, and she was using feces to make bricks to come out. And every time she would get to the surface of this hole she was in, she would have to start over because she would just go right back to the bottom. And she was building very quickly. I mean, everything moved very quickly with what I was seeing with this woman. The guy, he kind of paced back and forth. The girl paced back and forth, but this woman was building rapidly. And I thought she was my mother because she looked like her. And I called out, "Mommy, Mommy." And, you know, she couldn't hear me. I was calling out to the girl that I knew next door. She couldn't hear me. And I was terrified. I mean, just watching this scene, that was maddening. And I'm thinking, is this going to be my eternal punishment to watch these people do this thing over and over and over? Did I see the baby in hell? No. Okay? So as I realized this young lady is trying to get someone. Now, all along, the one who took me and guided me to this area, he was with me. I was calling for Jesus. And I can tell you, I believe with my whole heart that that was the Lord. And I'll explain to you why. All this time, I'm not looking up at him. I'm ashamed. Hell makes you feel every negative emotion. I was feeling ashamed. How could I wind up in hell? I was supposed to be a Christian. I was on the brink of getting things together, you know, my way, without repentance. My way. I was just going to edge my way back into the church after I've settled my fornicating life. And so I went to where this woman was trying to go, that she couldn't go beyond. I mustered up some strength, but in hell you have barely any strength. And as I went there, I got sucked through what this void was. Okay, I got sucked through there, and I saw a cousin of mine. She died at 10 years old. I don't know what the age of accountability is, so I cannot answer any of those questions. I'm only telling you all what I saw. She sat down. She had her hand on her cheek, and she was just looking down on, you could say, the ground. And I'm calling out to her. I love my cousin dearly. We were very close. It hurt me to the core when she died. I didn't get to say goodbye. And I'm calling out to her. She's not hearing me. Then the next person I noticed was my grandfather, and this is two different sides of the family, okay? My maternal grandfather and my paternal cousin. I saw my grandfather, and I went, I'm like, "Papa," and he's not hearing me. For some reason, nobody can see one another in hell. So I was getting a sideshow. But I went up to him, and I'm like nose to nose with him. He wasn't a tall man. And I'm saying, "Papa, can't you see me? Papa, it's me." And I'm looking at his eyes, and his eyes twinkled like the stars. Immediately, I was sucked out of there into an area that I experienced only one time before in my life when I was a new Christian or a new believer. It was just white, miles and miles of white. You can't see any buildings, nothing in this realm. And I knew then that it was Jesus that was with me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he stood on my right side, and I believe that he was just standing there as my advocate, as he stood there, I looked over to that section in the direction where he stood. and I saw angels of God going up and down what would be a stairway, but there's no rails. You can't see the steps. They're just going up, and they're going up in uniformity, up and down. Up on one side, down on the other. They seem to be carrying something, which I imagine are our prayers and they're God's answers to our prayers. And as they're going up, I'm looking at them. They were beautiful to watch. These men-like beings, they glowed like those daylight bulbs. And I couldn't imagine why I could distinguish the different layers of white, because everything is so white and clean and pure. And something happened to me the moment I entered that realm. I could breathe for the first time. Now, when I'm there, I wasn't thinking about this life any longer. If I knew my child, I didn't know him then. It was like everything just vanished. And I felt alive. I felt well. There was no itching. There was no misery. There was nothing. And the Lord, he just stood by me. He didn't say a word. I wanted to look up, but I was too ashamed. And I heard him say, Awoja. And I said to him, what does that mean? And now when he speaks, he's not speaking like you're hearing my voice. It's a sound that goes right through you, and it fills everything when he speaks. He said, the beginning of the end. And I was puzzled. The beginning of the end? What does this mean? He handed me a golden sword, and while I'm examining the sword that he laid in my hands, he vanished. And now I'm feeling just a little, I didn't feel lost. I didn't feel lost. I still felt safe. In hell, you don't feel safe. And so I'm wondering, where did he go? How could he leave me? You know, but I'm looking at the sword, and then suddenly I see this other angel, okay? But he was different. He didn't have any glow. And he had an armor. And he was far away in the distance when he was coming, but he came very quickly, like boom, boom, boom. And he was right in front of me. And his face looked angry. Now, the angels, they don't have long hair. Neither did Jesus. It was just cropped, curly, wool-like hair. But this angel, or this being, he attacked me immediately. I started to fight with him, and we were fighting for a long, it felt like forever. Okay, there's no sense of time in hell, and there's no sense of time in heaven. Time is what we have on earth. And while we're fighting, at one point, I'm wondering, how am I not losing strength? How is it that I'm more energized, you know? And I said to him, I felt like the power of the Almighty God was just in me. I just felt super powerful. And I said to him, I am Jesus. Now, a lot of people have a little problem with this part of my testimony. Tanisha is not Jesus, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. I felt the power of Almighty God, and I said, I am Jesus, and he looked like I backhanded him. And I took the sword, and I ran him through. Now, part of my, if I can retract a little bit,
Sister Tanisha, we'll have to continue just to go on, because of the time, and you explained it, very, very, you just laid it right out there about what you saw, what you experienced, and I just want to say, Sister Tanisha went to hell because she left the Lord, and she started to get into, as she said, fornicating, and probably other situations that she was probably doing that was not what she should have been doing. And because of that, she ended up, in hell. And thank God, the Lord got her out. And the only thing I could say, Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. But what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to share the situation when you were stranded I believe it was you were stranded
in Florida,
and where the woman, excuse me, where the woman had threatened you and was come to the house with a machete to kill you. And I just wanted to, now you're with the Lord now, and you're back with Jesus, and you prayed, and just tell the audience what happened after you prayed.
So someone threatened my life. I was staying in her home for 2 months, but she tricked me into staying with her so she could have a babysitter. And I had left all my family in the Northeast to go down to this job that she promised that, you know, she was starting a business, but she didn't. She just wanted me there. And while I was there, she threatened my life. And she came at me with a machete, and she said she was going to kill me. I felt like she was going to kill me. I poured out my soul to the Lord that night. I was sweating like drops of blood. I mean, my clothes was drenched with sweat. And when I got up off my knees on that night, I went into the bed, and I'm terrified of this woman. But I had prayed and I'd asked the Lord, please give your angels charge over me. When I looked around on the right side of the bed, I saw a mighty angel in full armor. He had a sword, but it wasn't drawn. And he folded his arm. The angels, they're very tall. And he folded his arms above his chest, and he just stared at me. Our eyes made four. Okay, so I looked to my left because I prayed for angels, and there was nobody over there. God doesn't need two angels for one woman. Okay? And I looked again, and the angel, he looked at me. And I just turned around, grabbed onto my child, and I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I had the best sleep I ever had in my entire life that night. When I woke up the next day, miraculously, God sent me a check in the mail. For the 2 months I was there, I was trying to get a job. Couldn't find a job. But the bus company had damaged my luggage. And this was the first time I had mail come into this home. They sent me a check for more than two times what I paid for my baggage, because I left out how much it costed when I filled out the claim ticket. And I drove around. I mean, but that night was phenomenal because I saw an angel in this life. Not in the afterlife, not in, you know, that realm. I saw an angel. And God says that he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Then I was seeking God. I was still going through, coming out of what I went through with this traumatic event, you know, when I nearly died. And I was getting back on track with the Lord. I'd gotten married, and I was studying my Bible, at least reading it, you know, and praying every day. I was seeking God, and he did answer. I know we don't have all night to do this, so Reverend Joseph, I'm going to stop right there.
Praise God, and God did able to get you out of that situation, and Satan wanted to get you, kill you through the medicine they were giving you in that hospital there. He wanted to kill you with the machete over there, but God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And so what I want to do is just say two prayers. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for anybody out there listening now, or Father God, in the archives, that you've gone away from Christ, and that you've got involved with drinking and drugging maybe again, and sexuality, promiscuity. I pray that you come back to the Lord. I pray that Jesus will forgive you, that you don't have to experience going to hell when you die. Reverend Tanisha is one of the very few people that have gone to hell and have gotten back by God's mercy. I pray that you rededicate your heart and your life to Christ. And anybody out there, you're not a believer? Well, that's what happens when you're not a believer in Christ, when you don't receive Christ into your life. God's mercy is not getting what we deserve, and everything outside of going to hell, and then after Judgment Day in Revelation 20, the lake of fire, everything It's God's mercy. So I pray these things, that you would receive Christ in your life and ask God to forgive you of your sins, and pick up a Bible, start reading the book of John about God's love, and find a born-again church in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Reverend Tanisha, for giving us the truth. And, you know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not the fear of man, but the fear of the Lord, when God was merciful unto you. So, Brother Shannon, praise God. Let's do communion.
Absolutely. And, Tanisha, that was a powerful testimony. I know there's more to share, and we're definitely going to have you back because I want to hear more of it. If you're just joining us, we're live with Reverend Tanisha Williams. And we're going to go with a song now that the Brother Joseph has given us, a beautiful song, as we're preparing to take communion. Communion is where we meet with the Lord Jesus Christ at his supper table. And any believer in Christ is eligible to take communion. It says, when we do this, we show the Lord Jesus Christ death till he comes. So when you're meeting with the Lord Jesus, you don't want to come to him with your sin. You want to repent of any sins that you've committed. You want to forgive anybody that you have held unforgiveness towards. And then you come and take communion, which is the new covenant in his blood, and there's a blessing that comes with it. If you're prepared to do that tonight, join us. If you're not, then wait till you are. Here's a song. Hope you enjoy it. Here we go.
He said, this is my body, as he held up the bread. Each time you eat of it, remember that I was broken for you, just like the bread. My body broken just for you. And this is my blood, he took the cup and said, each time you drink of it, remember that it's a token of the blood I shed. Or take the cup I poured for you. A new covenant I give. He said, this is my body, as he held up the bread. Each time you eat of it, remember that I was broken for you, just like the bread. My body broken just for you. And this is my blood, he took the cup and said, each time you drink of it, remember that it's a token of the blood I shed. Oh, take the cup I pour for you. A new covenant I give to you. Pour it out my Passover.
read from Luke 22, verse 19. It says, "And Jesus took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Brother Joseph?
Yes, and when we drink the blood, we say, "Hail to my King Jesus," three times in honor of the Trinity, and "Hail to our King Jesus," once in honor of the people that are taking communion, the body of Christ, worldwide. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to eat bread from the earth. Father God, thank you, Lord God, for your broken body, Father God, that causes us, Father God, to have our sins forgiven, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord God, that healing is the children's bread. And anybody listening, Father, over the airways that has a physical ailment, we can claim healing, Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word. So I speak forth healing to any malfunction in anybody's body, no matter what it is, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your broken body, Father God, so our body could be whole and heal, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake with the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. Hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, barei pri hagafen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to drink fruit from the vine. Hail to my King Jesus. Hail to my King Jesus. Hail to my King Jesus. Hail to our King Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's power in your blood, healing in your blood, deliverance in your blood, faith in your blood, hope in your blood, peace in your blood, joy in your blood, love in your blood, mercy in your blood, and great grace in your blood. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. We thank you, white as snow, because you're Father God blood. You threw our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, and you remember them no more as far as the east is from the west, Lord God. So are our sins forgiven, Lord. Father God, the eraser that erased our sins on your blackboard is your shed blood and your broken body. Thank you for building up our immune system, Father, protecting us from any influences of darkness coming, sickness trying to come our body. Zechariah, Father God, 2:5, your wall of fire protecting us, Lord God. No flu, no, Father God, coronavirus, no diseases, no pneumonia come attacking us, would hit our bodies, but hit you, the wall of fire, and die. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Sister Tanisha, what Amen. A powerful testimony tonight. I want to thank you for coming on tonight. If someone would like to reach you in your ministry, is there a way they can do that?
Yes. They can reach me by going through our ministry network website. It's ahavalicm.church. That's ahavalicm.church. Or you can put in your search engine Ahava Love Impact Church Ministry. And Ahava is the Hebrew word for love.
And where is that located at? Are you in New York? Where are you located?
No, we are located in Connecticut.
Okay, Connecticut. Okay, great.
Yes.
And Brother Joseph, give out your contact info.
Amen. Yes, you can. You can go on my website. You see a lot of great things on our website, newhopeinthelord.com. Visit our, as I said earlier in the program, our YouTube channel. We have both Tanisha Williams and Shannon Davis on there. You could just go to YouTube, put their name in, and put / New Hope in the Lord. You see two great testimonies there. I mean, you heard a lot of Tanisha. There's probably some more that was on there that we didn't get a chance to get to. And please subscribe. I appreciate it. And you want to send an email to Brother Joe at newhopeinthelord.com. And financially, to support us, we thank you for those who have supported us. You could do it through PayPal and Zelle, paypal.me/Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, 727, or through Zelle, rev.joseph@aol.com.
Okay, fantastic. Tanisha, do you also have an email address if people would like to write to you?
Yes, they can. From the website, we have links to the email, but I'll give it. It's connect, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, at ahavalicm.church.
Dot church. Okay, fantastic. I'll put that in the show notes.
Yes.
By the way, I loved your definition in the beginning where you said trespassing is going beyond what is allowed. Perfect trans explanation, definition for that word, trespasses. Brother Joseph, please get Sister Tanisha back on. I know she's got more to share, and I really enjoyed tonight's program.
Amen. We got to get a title to the message.
Yes.
You know, maybe, what would you like, Sister Tanisha?
I was thinking
of that, the same thing. See, exactly. I was going to say that, but it was up to you to say it. Right?
Let's do it.
To hell and back. Yeah, that's it, Brother Sean.
God bless you both. Thank you for coming on, and we'll see you all next time.
Okay. God bless you, Brother Sean. Thank you. Love you.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Folks, that was a powerful testimony. That was Tanisha Williams. And we are live. Yes, I do believe there are evil creatures in hell. And, of course, many have given a testimony of having been put in those torture cells. Oh, boy. Those creatures have an extreme hatred for mankind. And when they get their hands on you or I, they are going to torment you. I put all these testimonies together, and it gives us a pretty good picture of what awaits people who go into darkness. And that's just the first stop. Hell is, as Tanisha said, a prison. It's the largest prison on planet Earth. L.A. County Jail ain't got nothing on Hell's Jail. And then, of course, there is the next destination, the Lake of Fire. Two different locations. There are different compartments in Hell. There's the Abyss. There are the cages, and that's one place you and I do not want to go. You do not have to go there. That's the good news tonight. People that go into hell, they send themselves there by rejecting the gift of salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ makes available to all who will call on his name and be saved. And it's not just a one-time commitment. It is, we need to follow Jesus, get into his word, stay prayed up, repent of our sins, forgive others, follow him, endure to the end to be saved. So it starts with a confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that's where it begins. And we've got a space and time to repent, find Jesus before the spirit leaves the body, and then when it does, it's too late. God have mercy. Thank you, Tanisha and Brother Joseph. A powerful message tonight. Okay, here we go. We're going to get our next guest on. We've got Terry Jefferson. I'm saving this. I'll be right back.